So I suppose the story we're telling is quite a complicated one. It's not of kind of blanket prohibition and blanket intolerance, but of a kind of legal culture, legal situation which was very draconian, but a social, cultural situation where in different places and at different times and different contexts, men and women could find considerable toleration and find networks of support and friendships. And this contradiction in people's lives is really quite interesting. It's kind of a double consciousness, if you like, because at the same time as men during the wars and women during the wars might be finding new friendships, new networks, finding a new self-confidence in their sexual identity, the authorities and the press were pumping out propaganda about the homosexual threat. So during the First World War, there was a very famous poem published which said that Britain had two enemies, the German and the sodomite. Whilst in the Second World War, military reports suggested that homosexuals had fascist leanings and were a foreign body in the social macrocosm. So the idea that the homosexual was the enemy within. And this idea of the treacherous homosexual really gained momentum in the immediate post-war period in the context of the Cold War. And particularly in the light of a couple of spy scandals. So there was a famous spy scandal in 1951 involving guys called Burgess and Maclean, who were caught spying for the Russians, and they were homosexuals. And the Daily Express labelled them these evil men. And so it made this kind of connection between treachery and a lack of nationalism with homosexuality. So the idea that homosexuals were more likely to be loyal to each other than to their nation and their people. And this was a kind of paranoia that escalated in the post-war period. And so in America, you had this kind of purging of homosexuals from the civil service in the McCarthyite era. You didn't get anything quite so draconian in this country, but you got some of the same rhetoric and certainly a heightened feeling of fear amongst a lot of gay men in the late 1940s and 50s. And part of the reason for this, I think, was that we're in a period when the government was trying to rebuild Britain with a sense of common purpose after the crises and trauma of the war. So you've got the National Health Service emerging and social services and the idea of a new society moving forward. And one of the ways in which you can galvanise people towards this new society is finding a common enemy. So the Archbishop of Canterbury talked about the need to root out evil and return and dismiss the wartime morality, the idea that we needed to kind of pull our socks up and get back to living moral lives. And that was very often hooked into the idea of the nuclear home and nuclear family in the 1950s. So this was what would help rebuild the nation, was a re-establishment of family values. And so you got in a newly kind of sensational newspaper press a lot of reports about arrests of homosexuals and how they were a threat to family and they were a canker in the fibre of the nation and all this kind of really poisonous rhetoric. And the effect of that was to do two things. I think one thing it did was establish make clear that this was a separate identity and a separate group of people, or suggest that it was. It did that, and it also suggested that this was a very dangerous presence, that it was a threat to the new society that was emerging. So this is the kind of rhetoric you're getting in the late 1940s and 1950s. And accompanying that, as I said earlier, you've got a huge surge in arrests and prosecutions. So this felt like quite a difficult period for a lot of gay men. But the interesting thing about this kind of profile is that it creates the opposite too. So what people started to think, well, this people who lived, had neighbours, had family members, had experienced some of the opening out during the war years, is they saw this rhetoric and this push against homosexuality as really inappropriate, unacceptable, against a kind of liberal tradition, if you like. And so just as you had this upsurge in homophobic rhetoric, you got the beginnings of a move for reform.